Out of Chopin's 21 nocturnes, perhaps none is as emblematic of the genre as the first one in B-flat minor, opus 9, number 1. I pretty much started out this channel with a big bulk of Chopin nocturnes, so it's only fitting that I return here now that I'm approaching the close of a chapter in 2023. It's got all the typical features of a nocturne: music of the night, an expressive, singable melody in the right hand, and these stretched out arpeggios in the left hand with pedal. And Chopin really developed this kind of texture on modern instruments that also developed in the 19th century. So you need this functioning pedal that we used to, because the sounds resonate in the strings. You can keep the sound and the bass note for a long time. That wasn't really possible in earlier instruments, like in Mozart's time. He didn't have this. Beethoven, yeah, it started to come, but Chopin took it to the next level. So then also you need this big dynamic range that we have to be able to play really softly in the middle voices, so you fill up the sound and it starts to grow. Yeah, so big tip for playing all of this, keep the left hand really soft and you can create a magical sound. Okay, with a melody. So it's mostly about the balance. The melody is louder than all of these notes. Okay, one more thing before we get to these famous polyrhythms you see in the score. So the harmony, we're in B flat minor. And the identity of this piece, just this first phrase, it has this like identity of a dreamy, slightly mysterious character. And the mysteriousness comes from a special feature of the minor tonality, which is the harmonic minor scale notes. So a quick recap, the natural minor scale is the key signature. That's the natural minor. But if we use the chord on the fifth scale degree, which is like the dominant scale degree, we get F minor, which is a dominant minor. If we instead want to use the proper dominant, F major, the major dominant, then we need a natural. So this is where we get the other two types of minor scales. First of all, the melodic minor scale, if we use A natural and also G natural, to get some melodic fluency, or you can even say these raised scale notes on the way up and then flatten on the way down, like that's a melodic minor. And finally, like in between, it's called the harmonic minor. We use the flat sixth scale degree but the leading note of the seventh scale degree. And it's got this exotic element because of the big step, the augmented second, to have both the flat six and the leading note. And back to the nocturne, this is exactly what we have already in the upbeat. The harmonic minor tonality. By the way, just F7, dominant, grounded with the B-flat pedal point, and then, yeah, this suspension over the F7. Okay, now we reach the famous polyrhythms, 11 against 6. Good, actually. So it's really hard. If you play this, the tip is to start with one hand at a time to get really comfortable playing only one hand, and like to be able to feel that in one beat, a long beat. But also, if we look a bit closer, you can say that these ornaments are made up of different parts. First, it's the same type of upbeat that we have in the first upbeat, and then it's like a turnaround that, like, I personally do it a bit quicker than the other notes. And then after that, we get kind of an expanded version of the last part. Instead of, we get, so it's like a triplet in the end. So then, upbeat, turn around, triplet. This is like really detailed. You should still feel it much more floating, obviously. But something like that. Okay, and then continue. So this looks harder, 22 against 12, but it's actually the same speed, 11 against 6, and they meet up on this E flat in the middle. But the problem is the E flat is not supposed to feel as a downbeat at all, only in the left hand, not in the right hand. But it's the same here, turn around. And then a big chromatic scale to the C, and then another turn around. And then another like triplet, chromatic triplet this time. So there. Yeah, so I mean, it's just really hard to play. And if you're still struggling with this, I also have an option, which is called the Simple Solutions Edition, which is easy arrangement that I have developed, because I think the music is, this is so much harder than the rest of the music. So it's no reason you shouldn't be able to play this music, but with a slightly easier part, this the hardest, toughest part. So in this version, it's easier. You can see the left hand only have quarter notes. And the first 11 is actually all the notes just written out to match up. And then it's just triplets. But I mean, it's like 90% there. So I'm just saying this is an option. I can recommend it, obviously, because it's my product. You can check them out. I've done like 30 pieces. This is part of volume 3 that I launched this year, 23. But they're also available individually. You can check them out in the link in the description. And the final detail, they come in two versions, which is the original key and an even easier key signature as well. So in this case, it's A minor. Okay, back to Chopin's original version. After these rhythms, we get the final resolution of the phrase. And we start again. Move to the major, D flat major, relative major. So D flat, G flat. 4 in D flat, so we're staying here. Now G flat minor. So this melancholy chord is the minor 4 in D flat. Super lovely. And the second time it resolves to an F7, which is the dominant, back to B flat minor. So this is typical classic Chopin. He uses both the major and minor version of the pair, so B flat minor and D flat major, the relative pair, and he goes through like the dominants pointing to, so from D flat he takes the dominant pointing back to B flat minor, and tying it together through the minor 4 here of the D flat. There's detailed harmonic analysis here, but it's important. D flat minor, F7 pointing to B flat. And we get the repeat of the first melody. Same 11 tuplet. And now it's not a polyrhythm or just 3 against 2, but it's reaching a long way up. Like, there's some tension that needs to come out here. And if we look closer, it's actually the harmonic scale when we get down. Not here, here. It's the harmonic. And resolving down. So now we we start over the melody, we take a new turn. So here it's pointing forward harmonically all the time. And this 7, I actually feel much easier, only 2 plus 2 plus 3. And then this tension is still building. Now we get big leaps and it tries like 3 times. First time. Appassionato already the first time, forte. Reaching higher. Quickly resolving back to the B flat minor comfort size with force, so it's just reaching higher every time. And about the upbeats here, I think it's more common to hear them before the beat, as like you would normally think. So up the bass and the high note, but I don't know, I personally prefer to place them on the beats to feel a little bit more friction and tension of this place. But I mean, I think you can do either one. And the final chord here before we get the dominant, F7 to B flat minor, we get, recognize this, it's the Neapolitan 6 chord. So the Neapolitan is the flattened second degree, so C flat, which is B major or C flat, which is a tritone away from the dominant. But it's always in first inversion, so kind of a substitute for the 4 chord E flat. C flat in first inversion. Nice, predominant cadence. And here starts the middle section, which is a big contrast to the first melody, which is slightly more like intense. This is much more spacious and kind of reflective and meditative. And we bathe in the sound of long melody notes and just, yeah, deep bass fills up with harmony. All the time staying in D flat major, we have A flat 7, grounded with a D flat pedal point. Super nice cheeky modulation. So we reinterpret the D flat as a C sharp, and then from D flat, a natural 7 pointing to D major. So you see a lot of natural suddenly, because D major is very far away from D flat major, so you need to alter a lot of things, but it's a super nice feeling when you get there. Like rallentando to suck on it. And here, this is a very sudden forte, like thwarting this nice feeling with diminished chord. Like just as sudden as it came, we go back to D flat major. But we're gonna get this material a lot of times, so we're gonna hear it again. It's basically a repeat of the middle section. An upbeat here again, I prefer to do it on the beat. Time. So here again, D major grounded with a D pedal point to set G, the 4 in D with a D pedal point. And now the second time we continue. Like heroic stuff here. So I think it's the bass goes downward and we get this nice first inversion chord. First inversion. Some chromatic middle voices. Same modulation, now it's the third time. So it's the same continuation. So you could basically have this as a repeat. And in the Simple Solutions edition, I put out repeats so it doesn't feel as long as it looks here, the piece. Fourth time, we really recognize this modulation now. So it's an interesting thing that happens when you have the first time is really surprising, but then it ceases to be as surprising because of the repetition. So it's another dimension to the music. Finally, something new. This is basically a second part of the middle section, and it's even more spacious. It's one harmony that lasts for basically a whole page. We get the D flat 7. It's kind of pointing somewhere, but Chopin keeps us in suspense as to where for a long time. Like fortissimo, really big place. Falling thirds. And echo on the way down. And here the melody just stops and the only thing that's left is the accompaniment, and we get down to this really magical place of just a shimmering sound. And piano pianissimo. An echo of the same melodic material, first in fortissimo and now in really soft. And it's also a little bit of variation, the horn fifth, this nature evoking sonority. Finally, the melody comes to a halt, and we get this amazing transition. And the left hand basically tries different notes to see, like, where is it going from D flat to the sharp 5, back. Back down to G flat and back up to the A natural and stay here and then and that took us all the way to the recapitulation of the first theme in B flat minor. So we go just from this D flat, A flat, to A natural, to B flat, and we're back. And the rallentando here, I think you should really do it where it stands in the music, because it's kind of tempting to do it before that, and then when we get the upbeat, like, the music is going, but it actually says a tempo on the next bar. So I really like, you recognize it and let it come in the ritardando. So like this. My preference. Okay, polyrhythm time. Now we get an even worse, even more notes crammed in, 20 against 6. We can still see it's like a kind of harmonic scale and then some turnarounds. Okay. I think you can really let the left hand hit the brakes a little bit to let the right hand catch up. It almost feels like that. But it's living and organic. It doesn't matter if it's like, it shouldn't be mechanical, like a machine, just equal, every note equal. It needs to breathe and be alive, the music. But after this, we basically follow the same path. The whole section is not as long as the first time. It's a little bit shortcut, I think. It just comes one time, and then we go to the continuation here. But from here, it follows the same path. The Neapolitan. Now an echo of this. And another echo, like an improvisation-like variation. By the way, smorzando is always dying out. Like, it's a lot of smorzando, and also morendo means the same thing. It's a lot of that in Chopin nocturnes. Okay, we're approaching the end of the piece. Final outburst here. Still kind of Neapolitan, little bit more complex. It's a B7, not B major, with B flat as a pedal still, so that's chromatic tension and falling thirds. And the resolution is B flat major, so this is called the Picardy third, or why not the Picardy cadence? So instead of ending the normal way in the key of B flat minor, something like this maybe. Flips it to major, and we get the amazing light. The sun is rising. Long chords. The final reminder of the darkness of the night here. And it's like, so, G flat to F. Remember. It's kind of a motivic similarity. And long broken chord in the end. And that's Chopin's Nocturne in B flat minor. Thanks for watching Sonata Secrets. The Patreon shoutout goes to Jay Sennett and Jay Sprout.